This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And on this first day of November, All Saints Day, who's a saint out there, huh? Call us, why don't you? Let's hope the Halloween parties didn't change anyone's saintly status too much. This hour, you're going to hear how a boom in North Dakota has reduced the saintliness of a growing population of get-rich-quick dreamers and schemers. It has made one sheriff's job a lot more interesting, and we'll hear from him. Some conversations on how mental health has changed in America in 50 years and how it's changing again under the Affordable Care Act. And at the end of the hour, a woman's fight to conquer the demons in her own family. Marielle Hemingway's candor and vulnerability is a page right out of For Whom the Bell Tolls. Her story told in a new documentary from Barbara Koppel. Marielle and Barbara will be here. But first, the frightening sense of health and menace and vulnerability in war-torn Syria. The international community seems most concerned about this horrible menace.
The Syrian government has completed what we call the functional destruction of its entire chemical weapons-making apparatus and water-mixing filling equipment for use with sarin gas.
That's Michael Lujan, spokesman for the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, at a news conference yesterday. But are chemical weapons, as horrible as they are, the real health problem for the Syrian people right now? This week, as you can hear in this dispatch from the BBC, thousands of Syrians were allowed to leave the besieged Damascus suburb of Mu'adamiya.
Thank God we are out. Look, my body's shaking. There was no food. We had to eat grass. They wouldn't let us leave.
These are the last of the civilians who were trapped inside Mu'adamiya since March. Only a few thousand people were able to escape, and nothing was getting in. No medical supplies, not even food. One Syrian said you couldn't even get a piece of bread inside Mu'adamiya.
Lise Doucette, reporter for the BBC, on the ground in Syria. Rima Kamal is the spokeswoman for the International Committee of the Red Cross. She joins us from Damascus. Rima, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
2 years of war, more than 2 years of war, has produced all kinds of consequences, diseases that haven't been seen in more than a decade. Can you run down the list of the things that are most concerning to the Red Cross right now?
You have to begin with a widespread destruction of infrastructure, which has included then hospitals and healthcare structures, and especially then in areas that are under heavy fighting. You also have severe difficulties to reach out to large areas in Syria with medical supplies, partly because medical supplies are not allowed into lots of areas that are under siege, but also because there's severe shortages of medications and supplies in the country. So to just take one example, vaccines that should be so basic and so simple are not actually allowed into a number of areas and are also in shortages in other areas. And this has had the result of a polio outbreak recently in Syria.
Rima Kamal, I know the ICRC doesn't necessarily want to get involved in politics per se, but do you see this systematic denial of medical services and food as a weapon of mass destruction in its own right?
As you pointed out, it's probably a very much of a politicized debate to get into. We're not concerned about as much the motives as we are concerned about the impact of any potential siege or denial of assistance to population in need. Speaking, for example, for ourselves, the Red Cross, we have been systematically denied the delivery of medical supplies into large parts of rural Damascus that are controlled by the armed opposition. And this, of course, we find unacceptable, especially when chemical weapons inspectors are given access to areas in which lives can be saved if medical supplies can be allowed in.
So chemical weapons inspectors are being allowed in, but people with vaccines and medical supplies and food are being denied. Are you accusing the opposition and the government of systematic starvation of cities and communities in Syria?
I'm saying that the Red Cross has applied systematically to enter a number of areas that are under siege in rural Damascus to bring in vital medical supplies, but also food, and that it has been systematically denied to enter these areas. And this we find, of course, extremely concerning when we all know that lives, hundreds of thousands of lives in Syria can be saved if humanitarian assistance can be allowed in.
Before we go, cholera, is that a problem? Waterborne diseases, are these problems that Syria is going to be facing?
Up to point, we have managed to provide water treatment supplies and material to the local water board in Syria to provide water needs for more than 20 million people. So up to point, this has been avoided. But of course, in the face of the blockage of humanitarian aid and vital then material to a number of areas, this could be something we're looking at in the near future if no solution is found.
Rima Kamal, spokeswoman for the International Committee of the Red Cross, speaking to us from Damascus. So, Rima, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.